Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 through 32. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God hath given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the men of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand shall be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. They told them also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then said he unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him his ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him, and his carcass was cast into the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by, and saw the carcass standing in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him, and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, Saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast into the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the city of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. Shortly after the death of Solomon, the king of Israel was divided, the kingdom of Israel was divided. Jeroboam, he obtained the northern ten tribes, also known as Israel. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, obtained two tribes, which was called Judah, in the southern part of the Promised Land. Rehoboam followed bad advice. He was partly responsible for the divisions, but ultimately it was because of the sins of Solomon. Jeroboam institutes false worship. He says, it's too much for you, Israel, to go up to Jerusalem to worship. And he set up golden calves in Dan in the north and in Bethel in the south, not too far from Jerusalem. He wanted the people to forget Jerusalem. He wanted to make things easy for them. Soon after this, a young prophet from Judah was directed by God to deliver a prophecy against Jeroboam's altar. 1 Kings 13, verses 1 through 3. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, saying, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and upon men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign to the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. This was literally and precisely fulfilled 330 years later. The fulfillment is seen in 2 Kings 23, verses 15 through 20. Add that to your notes if you want to look at that. Jeroboam was upset that the young prophet was there to cause him trouble. Jeroboam was upset. Now, doesn't that seem strange? God had sent a prophet to tell him what was wrong. And instead of listening to the prophet of God and making correction, he got upset. God upset and he wanted to arrest this prophet of God. But God said, no, you're not going to do that. He caused the hand that was to point out the transgressor. He caused that hand to dry up and become useless. And of course, if you're someone who's used to using that hand, that's going to upset you just a bit as well. And he petitions the young prophet to restore his hand, and the young prophet does. Of course, all this works to show that the word that God had said through this young prophet, that it was the word of God. Miracles were done on that day, and everyone should have taken notice that these things were the word of God. This was going to actually and exactly happen. Jeroboam tried force, but the Lord was with the prophet. Jeroboam next offers him money, verse 7. But he doesn't take the money. But the young prophet understood the Lord's command, that he was to go directly there, to do the job and go directly home, not to stop and eat, not to drink with anyone, not to hang around. God said, don't stay in Bethel. They had turned from God in that place. God wanted his faithful man to remain so. So he says, have no fellowship with them. This is a New Testament principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. We find the Apostle Paul trying to teach this young congregation who had fallen into apostasy already. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 11, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. It's a principle that we still have. Those that are not behaving as they ought to, those that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're to be set aside. They're to be turned away from. Then we see a terrible seduction. 1 Kings 13, verses 11 through 19. The young prophet resisted the invitations of Jeroboam and was on his way home by a different route, as the Lord had commanded, but he stops. It wasn't that far from Bethel to Judah. He could have made it without stopping, but there you find him under that tree. He could have been gone, and no one would have caught up with him, and nothing would have happened to him. But the old prophet told him a story. An angel told him something. You need to be careful every time someone says, well, I know the Bible says this, but an angel told me. If you turn to no other passage in your Bibles today, turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Remember the story. This old prophet says, I'm a prophet too, and an angel told me to come get you and so that you could eat with me today. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What should the young prophet have done when he met up with the old prophet? He should have told him, that's a lie. I'm not going home with you. I am going to Bethel. And if I hadn't stopped, I would have already been there. He should have said no, and so should we. When someone tries to change something of what we know to be the Word of God, well, an angel told me. Or I was reading my Bible, and the Holy Spirit moved my finger, and it goes like this now. Or a still small voice said to me, thus and so you ought to do something different. But though we are an angel from heaven, notice that we, but though we, that is the apostle that originally gave the commands. If he tells you something different, he is accursed too. But though we, or an angel from heaven, and yet we turn aside from the things that we've been taught so easily sometimes. Well, it's a sign of the times. Or it just doesn't make sense to me. Or such and such, he's such a scholar, and he says it ought to be this way. We turn aside from that which has been proven. Now, what that young prophet knew was proven. Miracles were being worked by his hands. He should have known that was the truth. In this generation, we turn aside from the Lord's commands on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We turn aside from the Lord's commands on the instrument of music. We turn aside on the plan of salvation. While all these things have been proven by miracles, mighty works, and wonders which the Lord and His ambassadors have done. The punishment was announced. 1 Kings 13, verses 20 through 22. The old prophet at this time did speak for God. He told him, the young prophet, what was going to happen. God had already told him what was going to happen if he turned aside. But the old prophet, it was as if he was Balaam's ass, and he simply had to tell what he had been told by God. He was compelled to. He had that on his conscience now, because he had turned a prophet of God aside from his duty. The old prophet prophesied that the young prophet would never make it home, and he was killed by a lion. He never made it home. He was buried in a land that was not his, beside the prophet, in a place where that prophet would be eventually buried, in that place by the prophet that lied to him. There's some valuable lessons here. The people of Israel first saw the sign of the prophet. Then they saw the prophet as a sign. Don't turn aside from the will of God. Don't turn aside from the word of God. It is inviolable. God's not going to change his mind to mesh up with yours. If he says something has to be done, it has to be done. We don't have the privilege of changing God's mind. Can you imagine the wonder that the people must have felt in seeing the prophet being led into the city dead on a donkey? I'm sure that at one point somebody must have said, well, does that mean our new God is approved? No, we can't say that, because they saw the king with the dried up arm. They saw wonders done that day. But now about that prophet. That prophet didn't obey the will of God, so he was dead. Dead, being carried to the city. They needed to understand that this man, even though he was a man of God, had to pay a penalty for his disobedience. Did they learn the lesson? Verses 33 and 34. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whomsoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin under the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Jeroboam became one of the accursed, because he never did change his ways. The wise men will learn from the mistakes of others. He will not feel he has to make all the mistakes himself, but notice what the mistakes of others were in the past, and won't do that. There's nothing wise in learning the hard way. Many people seem to be destined to do that. But you don't have to. You can listen to people that are wise. You can look at the record in the Scripture. Don't do it the way that those that were accursed did it. If Satan can't get you one way, he'll try another. That's another lesson. Satan was trying to stop the worship of God. And if he couldn't stop the coming of the prophet, he would just destroy the messenger. He did it one way and then another. Satan's tactics with the young prophet: he tried force, that is, the power of the crown, to turn him away, but that didn't stop him. He tried friendliness and money. The king tried to pay him off and to give him food and drink. Then that didn't work, and so he used someone that was a prophet that he could manipulate. And that finally worked. Satan is versatile in his temptations. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11, he uses wiles, W-I-L-E-S, that is, deceit, trickery. We ought to be prepared against the wiles of the devil. We, in our youth, at least I in my youth, used to watch cartoons on Saturday morning. We used to watch Wile E. Coyote. He would try everything. He would try everything from the catalog of the Acme Company, trying to catch that Roadrunner. The Roadrunner only had one thing to do. He would just turn on the speed and he'd go right by. But the wiles of the coyote, it got him in trouble. But those wiles are not the same for the devil. He oftentimes it oftentimes works for him. He doesn't use the Acme company. He custom makes his own deceit and trickery. And he quite often wins when he should not. We quite often should know better, but we don't seem to. He has evil purposes and desires. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. He cunningly tries to corrupt. He comes in the back way. He tries to catch us unawares. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. He tries to impress us. Sometimes the most impressive people are on Satan's side. They look like they have it all together. They have a message and they speak it without stumbling, like me. Oftentimes, they look like what everything that has impressed them in the past, everything that has gotten their attention in the past, that's what they look like. But quite often they're liars, and they don't tell you the truth. Satan is a deceiver, and he wants you, and he is patient. And unless you look at the wiles and know them for what they are, you'll be caught. The prophet of God was caught that had received directly instructions. Just because someone says something doesn't make it so. You hear that from your parents? Back in '05 or whatever, for me, '65, Mom and Dad would say, when I would come home with some idea, don't believe everything everybody tells you. Don't believe everything the newspaper says. They said, you can't even believe everything Walter Cronkite says. You just can't believe everything you hear. What can you believe? You can believe the Word of God, not just one time, but every time. It has been proven, and it cannot be shaken. What can you believe? We ought not trust in lying words, Jeremiah 7, verse 4. Will we be as gullible as that prophet, that young prophet? We must be careful to believe only the truth. Notice with me 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Remember, as we've said before on several occasions, that this is a letter written to a very young congregation. They need to be taught some things. And these are exceedingly important to them. It's not things that they've heard before, but the Apostle Paul is giving them essentials here at the end of this book. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. He goes through such things as rejoice evermore, verse 16. Pray without ceasing, verse 17. And everything give thanks, verse 18. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. And then, despise not prophesying. And then verse 21, we need to focus on, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. For us in the 21st century, how do we prove all things? Well, there's this book. We can tell you about this book. This book that is blood-soaked. This book that has been sacrificed more than any other book ever. This book that has the works of an apostle written in within it. That proves itself by mighty works and miracles and signs. And this book that does not contradict itself. This book that has God's footprints walking through it time and time again. We just noticed the one before. 330 years before it happened, God called Josiah by name. That man, he's going to come and desecrate this place of worship. He's going to take the bones of the prophets and burn them on the altar. Called it by name, Josiah. That's not the only time that happens in the Scripture. It's a place where you can see the footprints of God. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. When you prove all things, you go to the Scripture. Because it has been tried and tested and has been found true. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 talks about a group of people that were more noble or were simply better reasoning than others, more fair-minded, as one translation puts it, than those that had been met before by the Apostle Paul, because they took what he preached and they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were the Bereans. And that word Berean has been honored down through time. You call someone a Berean, that word noble certainly fits. All that true nobility shows. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, we've been warned time and time again not to turn away from those things that are good, pure, right, and sure. And if you do turn aside from them, there is a cost, a high cost. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." I marvel, he says. Now, what does he mean by "I marvel"? Well, you have Marvel Comics. It kind of illustrates this a bit. And those superheroes, they have abilities that are simply jaw-dropping. If you were to see Spider-Man in his actual world and it was true and he could do the things that Spider-Man does, you would sit there and your jaw would drop. And so Paul is saying, this is like that. I marvel that you are so soon removed from the truth. I told you the truth. You saw the miracles. How could you turn aside from that? He continues to say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It's everywhere around us, people that pervert the gospel of Christ. Sometimes it's even in the Lord's church. The parable of the tares comes to mind. There are always going to be those things that are not true and pure in the church, and we can't do anything about them at the time, but God can, and the parable tells us at the end of time they're going to be burned up and with the chaff. But when you find someone who follows a gospel that's not good and pure, that turns aside from the truth, that's accursed. Let him be accursed, he says. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Just like that young prophet. That prophet that has the talent, the ability to go to another land and to preach the truth about the law of God, about the apostasy of the northern kingdom. He has that ability. He seems to have the desire, and we're applauding that this man is going and he is preaching the truth to the northern king. But then he just won't walk the walk. He just won't do what he's supposed to. He's been told not only to preach to that king, but come straight home. But he doesn't do it. He turns aside. He turns aside because the old prophet says an angel told him. And he was accursed. Never did make it home. A man must remain faithful. The young prophet started out great. He resisted force. He resisted money. But he dropped his guard. Remaining faithful is a constant battle. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Sometimes I wish we could in our mind's eye, any way possible, actually see the faces of these that the Lord is talking to here. They're being persecuted, and persecuted in the physical way. Their lives were at risk. They were seeing people die because of their faith. He says, the Lord says to them, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." He says, you're going to suffer, but don't fear those things. There is something more important to fear The young prophet was told, don't fear the king. I'll take care of that. But there are some things that you should fear. When the Lord tells you not to eat and drink here, although you think that's silly and that's small-minded or that's picayune, just go home. Just do what the Lord said. Fear those things. Fear the one that can kill body and soul in hell. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. They were to withstand those things that was coming on them. They weren't to run and hide. They were to simply remain faithful. They weren't to change their faithfulness. They were to change themselves. They were to become faithful. And those that did received the crown of life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Sometimes we go for a while, a month, a year, 10 years, but then we get tired. Get tired of it, we say. Get tired of the pressures. Get tired of the loss of what we had before we were Christians. And then someone is saying, ye did run well. You were on fire. You were headed toward heaven. What happened? We could say to this young prophet, you were doing so good. Why didn't you just go home? Just like the Lord said. The old prophet was where God told the young prophet not to stay. Have you ever wondered what possessed the old prophet to lie like he did? I suppose that he wanted equality. He wanted to be on the team. But he wasn't on the team anymore. Could it be that where he lived had begun to wear off on him? He was in Bethel, the place of apostasy. In some places and with some people is found great evil. To the Pergamos was said, and back in Revelation 2, verse 13, Revelation 2 and verse 13, Jesus said to those in the city of Pergamos, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, and where Satan dwelleth. There was a place where evil was found, a seat of evil, if you will. We also see Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. And you cannot tell me that being around Sodom didn't affect him and his family's decision to stay there, to keep on living there. I mean, Lot was born a nomad. He could have picked up any time and left. He wasn't a city dweller like I've been in my life. It's just hard to leave someplace you've been a long time. But Lot, he could have gotten up one day and just decided to go. But there were people in his family, and perhaps him himself, that did not want to leave. And so they stayed. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, if you will. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners or good morals. It's possible when we go to a certain place, we may think of how strong we are, but it may wear on us. It may wear thin in places. We need to be on guard against that. Be careful where you are and with whom you associate. It was actually the tongue of the old prophet, not the lion, that killed the young prophet. The tongue is deadly. The tongue can lure someone somewhere. The tongue can lie, reason falsely. And it is a great problem that we need to wrestle with. The Bible has much to say about the tongue. Here's a sample. The tongue is an open grave, Psalm 5, verse 9. It's a sharp razor and a sharp sword, Psalm 52:2 and Psalm 57, verse 4. It's an arrow, Psalm 64, verse 3. It's a burning fire, Proverbs 16, verse 27. It's a bit in the horse's mouth, James 3, verse 3. It's like a ship's rudder, James 3, verse 4. It's an untamable wild beast, James 3, verses 7 through 8. It's deadly poison, James 3, verse 8. Have you learned the lesson of this young prophet? There's a lot to learn about this young man that we need to take note of. The power of the Word of God is certainly seen. And the power to destroy is in the tongue of that old prophet who led someone astray. Look at it with your mind's eye and shudder. That old prophet before God on the day of judgment. What do you think is going to happen then? I shudder to think, so should you. Don't lead someone aside. And when God tells you what to do, don't argue. He has the right to tell you what to do. He has the right to send you off in a direction that you may not even agree with. He has all authority in heaven and in earth, and is worthy of your every action. Whatever He requires you to do, that's what you're called to do. There may be someone here today that has been called aside by that old prophet, by someone who has convinced you of something other than the gospel of Christ. Go back to the truth. Go back to the Bible. Don't end up like this young prophet, dead at the side of the road, killed by a lion, when you could have gone home. You could have gone home and been blessed if you had just obeyed. Just obeyed. It would have been so simple. But it's obvious that that young man, that young prophet, did not want to go right home, because he ended up under the tree, able to hear the pleadings of the old prophet, and was taken back to the city of Bethel. Don't be lured, even if it's an angel from heaven. There may be someone who has been lured aside, being told, you don't have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's a works salvation. That's Bible salvation. That's what God told you to do. Don't turn aside because someone says something other than the book of God. Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul then, Saul of Tarsus, was told by a man who was a prophet by the name of Ananias. Ananias told the truth. Saul obeyed the truth, became an apostle of Jesus Christ. And if you have yet to do that, make it today. Get back on the track where you're pleasing God. If you have once done that, but today you find your life is off the track, ask God for forgiveness. And if it's a public matter, make it known publicly that you've repented. But forgiveness can be yours. He's promised it. You have to repent and ask Him for it. But it's yours. The grace of God is certainly large in our eyes today. If we can assist you in your obedience, why don't you sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.
I wonder.